Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Casthetic. I am your host, Keaton Buse, and we got a wonderful band for you guys today because I've been itching to show you guys for like 3 years how great this band is. Every show I see of theirs is an incredible experience. Like, it changes your life, and I hope this show changes your life. The band is Sola Sove, and this is their first song, Hate Freak.
Where did all the lights go? Just another freak show. Living it day to day. Now I only see more hate. Sense of false pretense. From living on the weekends. Now I only wanna see. Now I only see more hate.
Your whole life. too late.
Hope you guys love that song. So let's get to know this wonderful band, Sola Sove. We'll just go around. You guys can introduce yourselves. Let them know your voice.
My name is David Loving, and I play guitar and sing.
Hey, everybody. I'm Linda, and I play bass guitar.
And I'm James, and I play the drums.
Now, I want to know a bit of the history of Sola Sove, because you guys are a bit of an enigma in my whole music local history timeline. When did you guys first form this band and get together?
Well, it's fun. Me and my brother, James, the drummer, we've been playing together for obviously a long time, you know, as kids growing up. And pretty much when he got his first drum set and I got my guitar, we started playing together. And me and Linda started dating in high school. We've had various other members. But pretty much since our high school days, which was the 2005, 2006, 2007, our heydays. and we would play a lot around in the Northern Virginia area and started branching out from there.
And then you guys moved down to Richmond.
Yeah, I started going to VCU in Richmond around 2010, 2011, and that's when the band really took a next step. We had recorded at Sound and Music Recording Studios in Richmond and released the EP and put it out on iTunes and got a website and really took that next step as a band, you know, pressing 1,000 copies and getting them out. And it really, the scene in Richmond is very strong. It's very indie supportive. A lot of do-it-yourself community stuff going on. A lot of underground house shows, underground venues, as well as above ground venues to play at. And it's a great place. It's one of the stronger scenes in the area, absolutely.
Now, would you say the city transformed your sound at all from when you were up here in the Northern Virginia area?
Probably a little bit, yeah.
Definitely made us wanted to sound a lot better. For the first time in a long time.
We grew a lot moving to Richmond.
Just, yeah, and getting out on our own. And, you know, having our own house to rehearse in and practice in all the time and playing a lot more shows. And, you know, the sound grew a lot from our early days, which was very kind of folky and folk rocky, to a heavier kind of indie influence kind of stuff.
Yeah, you guys got, like, some fuzz added there. It's, I'm looking forward to the new EP when you guys are ready to release it, but we'll talk more about that in a moment. What's your guys' songwriting style like? Do you guys have one person who kind of goes off and writes things and bring it to the group, or you guys kind of just sit in a room?
I tend to bring stuff to the table, and once I bring it to the table, ideas and things, these two, James and Linda, they just take off with it, and they're like, oh, we should change this, we should add this, you know, I don't really like this that much. And then I kind of like, well, how can we make it better? And we'll scrap songs, we'll write songs, you know. So
normally the whole time we're writing, we're playing shows, so like every show we'll play it a different way.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Yeah.
And see what sounds,
you know,
best.
Because we're not at the point yet where, you know, like a lot of those kind of famous and successful bands can just hide away and write for 3 or 4 months and not play any shows.
Yeah, we're writing on the go.
We don't want to turn any show down, obviously, at our position. So, you know, we try to find our chances to write as much as we can and, you know, try to play as many shows as we can and
not be scared to experiment on the stage.
Yeah, so do you guys, like, keep notes of what you tried during a show and like, oh, that was good, I think I'm going to
We do a lot mentally, absolutely.
Yeah, mentally.
And we film it all, so.
Oh, yeah, well, we look back at the footage.
Yeah, we try to film as much as we can at all of our shows, and we try to take advantage of a photo opportunity as well. So Linda was a digital arts major, so she's able to kind of take over that portion and get our friends to kind of help us along. And I was an English major, so I kind of take over lyrically for all of our lyrics and stuff. So, and James builds stuff, so he's an ultimate construction worker, so he can just build anything at all that we want. So,
we need 9 buildings.
Exactly.
Of various proportions.
A giant drum riser, 18 feet off the ground.
James, from what I've gathered is you live quite a ways away from these two, which is way down Southern Richmond.
Yeah.
Richmond. How does that distance gap kind of affect practicing? Does
Well, luckily we get to the point where we're not scared at all to play a lot of the shows we play, so it's pretty friendly, and I just show up and we jam, and it's not really that big of a deal. And we've been playing these songs for a long time, and it does suck a little bit, but we make it work, and definitely looking forward to recording, and that'll help a lot. Mm-hmm. And hopefully move down there soon.
Yeah.
It's nice to get to a point band-wise, given that we're family. We're not going anywhere, you know, so you can have fights and things like that, but the bottom line is when Christmas comes around, we're stuck in the same house or, you know, Thanksgiving, so there's a lot of stuff family-wise that keeps us together, and because of that, if we can just get to a point, which we have chemistry-wise, to show up at any show, anywhere in the country, ask us to come play, we have a set of songs without practicing at all that we can do pretty flawlessly, you know, and it takes a while to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
We've worked hard to get to that point. So not to say we shouldn't practice. We love practicing and writing new stuff, but it's great to have a set of songs that you know that if somebody off the whim was like, hey, can you play a show this weekend? And it can work with their schedules to be able to show up and play and perform well.
That's gotta be great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do a little segment we have on the show called Five Questions. I'm going to ask you guys five questions. I ask everybody. So cue the music. It's five questions. The worst gig you guys ever had.
Oh, man.
Ooh, I don't even know.
Some gig our parents set us up for when we were really young.
Yeah.
At a family member's house.
Right.
We
played a
it.
Show at the Warrington Community Center one time growing up. It was a show that we all put together, and I'm pretty sure we played in front of three people. So, which, you know,
like
I mean,
metal.
Yeah. It was pretty much about six or seven metal bands on the bill. And then we walk up there with our freaking cello and our acoustic guitar and a couple keyboards and a drums. And they're just like, what is going on? You know, so, but we got through. And then we played another show up in Nova at Lord Fairfax Community College. And I'm pretty sure we were put last on the bill. The other four bands all played about 20 minutes over their set. So we got on about 1:30 in the morning, and I played in front of my mother and my Aunt Vicky, my sister, and some random person. And, you know, take it as you go. So
no show's a bad show, though.
No show
I mean, someone's
is a bad
walking
show.
Out of there knowing your name, probably. You know, at least one person. That makes it worth it. Don't expect money and just love every show. Glorified
exactly.
practice time.
Set your goals low enough, man. They always get met.
Yep.
Words to live by. All right, the worst equipment malfunction you guys had during the show.
Mm.
You know, I remember we were renting a amp head, and it fell over right in the middle of a set.
We were playing in Old Town Warrington.
Yeah, was that like
we were like borrowing our friend's amp and making payments
like
on
an
it.
Activist
yeah, and we were playing a show for the Chesapeake Climate Action Network, and we were paying for our friend's amp, and we were like sound checking, and out of nowhere, we just heard this crash, and there's this $800 head full of tubes just smacked on the ground.
Anything damaged?
Nope.
Ooh,
got lucky, man.
It was windy that day, that's for sure, though.
But we've
put
had
rocks on them.
We've played a lot of shows, you know, over the past 10
it's
years.
It's a zombie tech.
So you get, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, malfunctions and things stop working. And
somebody took my cymbal right in the middle of a song one time in Richmond. I was playing and they like somebody fell, and when they fell, they grabbed the cymbal and it was just gone, disappeared.
Oh, I thought you meant like someone just walked up, unscrewed it, just took it off,
it just like disappeared into the
took
crowd.
It out, man. Took it out. So, and you get a lot of those at those house shows in Richmond where people are falling over stuff and you try to protect your equipment the best you can. So, but, yeah, so.
The dirtiest or scariest place that you've stayed during a tour?
Ooh.
We do a lot of our, like, weekend warrior kind of stuff where we go out on the weekends and play shows and things like that. Probably we've played a couple gross places before. And I'm trying to think of where. We played one place called, like it was in DC and it was called like the Nation or something like that. And I'm pretty sure you can catch hepatitis walking by that place. So like you get a disease walking by
just
that place.
Vomit everywhere. Yeah.
And like our parents
room.
All came and I'm pretty sure leaving, we were just getting nothing but flyers just full of like naked chicks on it. Like come to this club, you know, and we were like 16. So, but usually if we're out and on the road or playing somewhere, we either try to stay with either family or friends that we know. You know, so
this is a venue you have to worry about.
So try and avoid those creepy blood-stained hotel rooms.
Exactly.
I'm not trying to get bed bugs here.
All right. The closest you've come to quitting music?
Never.
Never.
Never. Yeah. I guess if people quit our band, well, not quit, but if we were letting people go, like as we were growing up, and it's just solidified with us three, and now there's no problems.
Yeah, there was a point when we had other members, and they were both in college, and it was
it was really hard to get practicing, and you know.
And luckily the way that I've kind of structured the band, and we've kind of structured it, is that you know, as long as you know, I've always done a lot of writing and lyrics and stuff like that, and those, you know, James and Linda have been in it for a very long time. And, you know, as long as we're kind of in it, you know, if I'm kind of in it and I want to keep it going and, you know, they want to help me keep it going, they always know they have a spot in the band. And, you know, if, and it's, it, and we kind of move like that, you know, through the future. And I mean, I could go play a show at a coffee house tomorrow by myself and I'm going to say Soul Survey's playing, you know, so there's no like animosity or any kind of, you know, upsetness or hard feelings or anything like that.
There's no reason to want to quit either necessarily. And like we said earlier, if you set your goals low, you don't have to worry about making money off of it. We all have day jobs.
If you're not doing it for the music, then there's just no point to do
exactly.
it. If we wanted to make money, I could learn a set of cover songs and I could play at five bars next
right.
week. You know?
Yeah.
And I could make a lot of money. I have a lot of friends that do that, you know?
Yeah.
And they, you know, and a lot of them love it. Some of them hate it, you know, but I couldn't do it. I enjoy writing music and performing them. And, you know, the money has got to come second, you know? So.
Yeah.
It's I enjoy playing shows that I'm performing my own music at and pretending to be a rock star and gallivanting around and you know, just it's fun. If it's not fun, then there's no point in doing it.
Yeah. All right. The best memory you guys have together as a band.
There's probably tons.
Untitled Music Festival.
Yeah.
The Untitled Music Festivals
are just awesome. We've loved them. It's been you know, a great step in the band to get to play in front of a lot of people that wouldn't normally get to hear us and, you know, to play on such a big stage and such a big event.
Yeah,
it's grown. Yeah, and to be a part of it from the beginning and to have a bunch of my friends that run it and are on it. And, you know, like I can remember getting, you know, the text message from like Josh Teodoro and Mike Woods and them just being like, hey, so we're putting together this little music festival and you guys should totally play. You know, and now it's turned into this huge, they get 150 submissions every year.
Mm-hmm.
They're weaning through it all. And the fact that
they're making money
and they're making, you know, they get to make money at it and people donate. And the fact that we get to be a part of that.
And you guys, this is fifth year playing.
Absolutely.
You guys are veterans of UMF now.
Yeah, definitely. And there's only a few of us left that have played the first festival that are still playing it now. And I mean, it's an honor. Like I love it. You know,
total
I love
honor,
them.
Yep.
I love the Cowgirls at their property that run it. And you know, all of those kids that are a part of it, they really work hard to put it on. And
yes,
I envy them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's get to some more music. This next song, this song blew me away. This is probably my favorite song out of the set. It's Into the Woods. Do you guys have anything you want to say about it before people hear it?
Me and Linda bought a farm south of Richmond, and we've got about 10 acres, and it's a mile off the road, way tucked back into the woods, and we love it there. And ever since we've moved there, it's been a beautiful part of our lives. And you know, I've always, to quote that Strokes line, I've always you know, felt like I've been stuck in the city, but I belong in the fields.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, here it is for you guys. It's Into the Woods by Solus Sauvay.
I stare, tall and I walk, I walk, I walk. And I will run away, yeah, into the woods. What if I
song as much as I loved it, because it's so good. One thing I've always been meaning to ask, and I always forget anytime I see you guys, where did the name Sola Silve come from?
It's an ancient secret.
Oh man.
No, I don't know. I mean,
well, solace is comfort.
Yeah, solace means comfort, and Silve isn't in the English dictionary. It translates into an ancient French word that means like the tradition behind folklore and things like that. So I've always felt like it kind of means like a comforting folklore, comforting tradition, and things like that. And as far as where it came from, like we were going through names. Yeah, we were going through names and kind
different
of
name
figuring out. We were playing under Adhesion in like 2004, 2005. And, you know, that was back when MySpace was booming. And if you didn't have a MySpace, like, you weren't cool and you weren't even a band. And everybody cared about how many profile views you had on MySpace.
Who was in your top six?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, and, you know, we went to create our MySpace page. And sure enough, were there like eight other bands called Adhesion, you know, across. So we were like, all right, we got to scrap this and figure out something else. And, so we were just asking friends, and I remember having a master list of just tons of different band mm-hmm. names, and Solace was on one page, and Sauve was on another page, and I remember telling one of my friends, I was like, well, Solace Sauve, like, that sounds kind of cool. You know, they both
good
kinda,
alliteration.
Yeah, they good yeah. alliterate, yep. you know. Yeah. But if I had a dollar, dude, for how many people spell that thing wrong.
Say Savoy.
Yeah, like, Solace you know, Savoy. Like, Saji Savoy, and, like, whatever. I mean, it's... It I would be rich, man. So
I just waited until I heard, like, I saw you guys live for you to say the name of the band before I even
Yeah, exactly. But that's a good thing, though. Yeah. It's I don't mind people being like, that one band, like, what was it, like, Soul, like, yeah. where was it? Like,
Solar Savory?
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. It's, nobody has that band name, so.
No, they don't. It works.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are currently working on an EP.
Yeah, we've been in pre-production for over a year now or so, and recording demos at, you know, our house in Richmond and then our farmhouse that we just got. And we probably wrote a batch of like 12 to 15 songs, demoed out all of them, narrowed it down to six that we really liked, and then we recorded our favorite three here today. And hopefully now, with the pre-production process coming to an end, we'll be able to kind of get into the studio and come up with another EP and, you know, start promoting it and things like that.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, I love your guys' EP, Magic Fly City.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on a full-length album?
Possibly. Full-length albums just cost money, man.
Yeah.
It's just all about money when it comes down to it. You know, the more songs you write, then the more you have to record, the more money you have to pay. And given our situation, and I've noticed it a lot with indie bands that are in the scene and signed to indie labels and stuff, that, you know, they just release EPs after EPs. And if we get picked up or end up with an investor or anything like that, you know, you can look more at them, full-length opportunities and things like that.
But, yeah, exactly.
You know, right now, coming up with, you know, a batch of six songs, and I wanted to treat it like a full-length album. And a lot of professionals that write full-length albums will write 30 songs, narrow it down to 15, then narrow it down to 11 or 12, and that's their full length. I wanted to do that on a small scale. We didn't do that with Magic Fly City. Those were the five songs that we were playing at the time. Those are the five songs we recorded. So it's been nice to think about, oh, we wrote this one song and it sounded great at the time, and now months later we're kind of like, you know, maybe it wouldn't be worth throwing a bunch of money at recording it. So
yeah, which is understandable, but I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure a whole bunch of people out there in the world are too. Now, do you guys have any shows coming up?
Yeah, we've got a few. We're playing at the Velvet Lounge in DC in June, on June 18th, and that's going to be a fun show with some of our friends and some bands. And then after that, we're playing a cool festival in Fredericksburg that one of our good friends, Drew Blankenship, puts together. They call it Bacon Fest.
Bacon Fest,
So we played the last Bacon Fest as well. So that'll be fun, and that's going to be kind of our pre-Untitled Music Festival show, because after that, our next show will be the Untitled Music Festival, so which we'll be playing Friday night at 8 p.m. So make sure you guys all come out to Newcastle, Virginia for the wonderful Untitled Music Festival. It will change your life.
Yeah. If you guys don't come out to Untitled, I'm A, going to be disappointed, and B, just I'm going to think a little less of you.
It is the biggest indie music festival, I think, in our state, at least, you know. It's just there's so many do-it-yourself and indie and starting up local, you know, bands that come out and play this thing, and it's great. You know, they do a great job
of
picking great music, and, you know, I love it. So
everyone that goes looks forward to coming back the next year. Well, I got a few shows to tell you guys out there about. First off, open mics are a wonderful way to go hear local music going on in your area, and you get to hear stuff that you don't typically hear in someone's regular show. Two great ones. Tuesday night at Philly Tavern in Old Town Manassas is an open mic hosted by the great Stephen Lee. And then every Monday night, Thursday night at Epicure Cafe, there's an open mic. Wonderful place. And shows coming up on June 25th, we have the Dusk Whales, Rinaldi Flying Circus, and Cinema Hearts playing at Epicure. Then July 9th, Daycare Swindlers are playing at Headmaster's Pub. July 16th, you'll be able to see Solus Sauvé over at the Cataclysmic Bacon Fest, the 3rd. July 1st is Carter Loud and the Project album release show at Jam and Java. And then, as we mentioned earlier, Untitled Festival, you have to go. It's going to be 4 days this time rather than three. These guys are playing Friday night. Friday night's my favorite night, mostly because you guys play.
Yeah, it's the best night.
That's happening July 21st through July 24th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Go all day. Enjoy it. Then, on to the social medias so we can socialize in a media form. You guys got the Twitters, the Instagrams, the Facebook.
Man. Nowadays, you got to have the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so all of it. Website. You know, our website is solasauvay.com, SOLACESOVAY. And on our website, you can find all of our links to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and, you know, Tumblr. So you can roll
free downloads.
Yep, free downloads on our Bandcamp page, just Bandcamp at solasauvay. So, you know, it's the nice thing about having Soul Survey band name. We don't have to have Soul Survey 1 or the Soul Survey band or anything.
You can
like
have
that.
The .com. You don't have to be soulsurvey.org.
Exactly.
All right, and then be sure to go on Facebook, like Soul Survey, then like Bias. Feel free to like Cassathetic if you want, because these make believe thumbs up. They mean a number on the internet, but they're free. They don't cost you anything. And then Instagrams, at Bias Studios, at Cassathetic, at Mark Ryder Music, and at Ken Barnum. Follow them to get like cool pictures of bands and musicians and what's going on. And Twitter's Mark Ryder Music and at Ken Barnum. And then there's mine, which is at Keaton Thinking. Every now and then I post stuff. That one's not a big deal. Don't you guys worry about at Keaton Thinking. A big thank you to Mark Ryder and Ken Barnum for recording and mixing and keeping us safe from the evil deviations of Mechagodzilla, always making sure our coastal towns are safe. Those are our international trade highways.
Thank you, Mark, for engineering and recording us today. So you're a phenomenal drummer, and I've always loved the Daycare Swindlers, so thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And then big thank you to Bias Studios for having us and their lovely facilities. Check out their website, biasstudios.com. I'm Keaton Buse, your host, as you know. We got one more song for you guys, which is an incredible... These have all been incredible songs. You guys just write good songs. Good job. Good job.
Thanks. Thank you. It means a lot, man.
Now, this next song is Someone I Love. Is there a story behind this one?
Not really. Just kind of a cool tune that we threw together. It's got some loops in it and stuff, so it's kind of hard to play live, but we do our best, so.
Well, here it is. They did an incredible job. He's just so humble. Here it is, Someone I Love. Have a great couple weeks.
I'm waiting for